Mark chapter number 11. And I will not preach long. And just want to give you a thought, really. Mark chapter number 11. Look what the Bible said in verse number 1. The Bible said, "And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and to Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him." Man, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, I'm glad the Lord hath need of that colt. Amen. And the Bible says, "The Lord hath need of him. Straightway he will send him hither." And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed it. And a certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye loosen the colt?" And they said unto them, "Even as Jesus had commanded that they let them go." And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it, and they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." And Jesus answering saith unto him, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, he shall no doubt in his heart but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's all we'll read for the sake of time. Let's pray together, and then we'll look at these verses. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the privilege, God, to be in church tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, I thank you, Lord, for the message that we've already heard, and God, how you stirred my heart, and I thank you for that. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to hide that truth in our hearts, God, in the days to come. Father, I beg you, Lord, tonight that you'd help us, God, as we try to glean some truths from this sacred text tonight. Father, we might be a blessing to your people. God, I beg you, Lord, that you'd move in our midst. God, I pray you'd bring to my mind remembrance the words, God, that needs to be said. I recognize the fact that I cannot do anything, God, within myself. God, I need your help. Lord, I beg you in Jesus' name, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. God, make preaching easy. Bind the forces of hell. God, move in our midst. Help us right now. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. Mark chapter number 11. The Bible said, notice in Mark 11, verse number 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And I want to preach on a phrase out of verse number 13. The Bible said he found nothing but leaves. And that's what I want to preach on tonight, God help me. Nothing but leaves. Amen. Mark chapter number 11, we'll find in the first part of the chapter we read, and you hear that Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem and perform the prophecy that had been prophesied that in Zechariah that he would be presented there in Jerusalem. And he sends for the colt and rides into Jerusalem. Verse number 11, the Bible said, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem. He And into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, now the evening tide was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12, and so he rides into Jerusalem, and when he comes to the temple, he looks around at everything that's going on, and man, there's a message in this, he looks around at everything that's going on, and he does not say a word, he does not perform a miracle, he does not do anything, but he simply turns around and leaves and goes back to Bethany, amen. I mean, what a sad verse tonight that Jesus went to the house of God and he did not speak. He did not move. He did not do anything. All he did was just took inventory of all that was going on. He examined all that was transpiring in the house of God, and in his displeasure, he left there and departed and went to Bethany. And listen, evidently they spend the night in Bethany, and the next morning they arise and they head back to Jerusalem. He's going to go back to the temple and he's going to cleanse the temple, and we read about in you here. But on his journey toward the temple, the Bible says that he sees a fig tree and far off having leaves, and he approached it if happily he might find something up there on. And I was just thinking about this. Now you understand tonight that when you study the Word of God that listen, every scripture has a primary interpretation. Amen. And no doubt in this passage of Scripture, the cursing of this fig tree, is teaching us about the judgment upon the nation of Israel for their empty religion. And that is, I believe, that is the primary interpretation of this text. But I want to say, friend, we understand that there is a practical application in every passage. And I want to look at that tonight and look at this fig tree just for a moment and try not to preach longer, be too long. But I want you to notice in verse number 12 and 13, I want you to notice the Lord's intention. His intention, the Bible said in verse number 12, and on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And so the Lord sees a fig tree, and the Bible says he's hungry. Amen. Isn't it amazing when you read the Gospels that many of the miracles that were performed, how we see his humanity, and then at the same time we'll see his deity. And this miracle is no exception. By the way, this is the only miracle in all of the ministry of Christ that involved judgment. Most of the miracles, or all the miracles except this one, involved mercy. Amen. But here is a miracle of judgment. And the fact that Jesus was hungry, it tells us of his humanity, that he was, listen, not only was he man, but the fact that he was able to curse the trees tells us that he was God. And he is God in the flesh. But I want you to notice the Bible says here that Jesus saw this fig tree and he's hungry and he desired to have fruit to eat. And he sees this fig tree and it's full of leaves. And so, listen, he approaches this fig tree with the intention of finding fruit thereon. I could say it like this tonight. The Lord sees this tree and he desires to find fruit on it. Amen. I mean, listen, he sees it and he desires to find something on that tree that might help him, that might minister unto him, that he might use in his life. Amen. And that, can I say, friend, that's the Lord's desire in every single one of us' life tonight. How the Lord desires for us to be fruitful and to bear fruit. And he desires, listen, for our life to be beneficial to him and the gospel. Amen. And so we see the Lord's intention here. But I want you to notice none of the Lord's intention. Notice the Lord's inspection. The Bible said that he seeth afar off. I think that probably he saw this fig tree before anybody else saw it. Amen. Hey, listen, he saw the fig tree. And let me say this. He's gonna approach the fig tree with the intention to find fruit. And, listen, and when he gets there, he discovers there's no fruit. But I want to say this. He didn't go up to that fig tree, as if he didn't know.
He knew before he got there. He's not, listen, he's not confused. He's not bewildered. Oh no, friend, he knew. He's about to teach his disciples a lesson, and he's using the fig tree how to make a spiritual application unto those disciples. He knows what's going on, and he sees it afar off. How can I say tonight, friend, the Lord sees afar off. Amen. I tell you, he saw you before you came in here tonight. He saw me before I came in here. Matter of fact, he knew exactly who'd be here. I didn't know who'd be here, friend, but I'm telling the Lord saw before you and I ever understood who would walk through those doors. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that saw before you did. And before, I'm telling you, listen, he sees afar off. Amen. And can I say, notice he sees afar off, but he sees things that we don't see. Listen, they saw the fig tree afar off having leaves. And the Lord knew when he got there what he would find, but the disciples didn't. Amen. Listen, that, and I'm just saying this. He sees what we cannot see. I tell you, all we can see tonight is the outward. But the Lord sees the heart tonight. And not only does he know everybody that's here, but he knows every life. He knows every situation. He knows where you stand. And he knows where I stand. He knows who's saved. And he knows who's not saved. And he knows who's covering up sin. And he knows who has things hidden in their heart. He knows the hidden things of our life. And there's nothing that is hidden. Listen, you may be hiding something from mom and daddy, or you may be hiding something from your preacher, or you may be hiding something from your husband or your wife. But rest assured tonight, friend, you are not hiding anything from him. He sees afar off. Amen. How the eyes of the Lord are ever placed behold the good and the evil. He knows everything we've done this week. He knows everything. Listen, he knows every thought that I had. He knows everything that I was involved in, you was involved with. He sees afar off. Amen. A lot of times we come to church and just be honest, we'll put our spiritual coat on. Amen. And we want people to think we're more spiritual than what we are. And how we, listen, I want people to think we're closer to God than what we really are. But the truth is, He knows tonight. And He sees afar off. Amen. So we see the Lord's intention. Notice the Lord's inspection. But notice in verse number 14, the Lord's indignation. Look what the Bible says in verse number 14. Verse number 13 again. And the Bible said he seen a fig tree afar off, having leaves. He came up happily, he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So Jesus comes to this fig tree, and he curses it, and he condemns it. They came back. Listen, they go on into Jerusalem. Jesus cleanses the temple. They come back out, and as they're coming back out, Peter sees the fig tree that Jesus had pronounced a curse on and pronounced condemnation on, and it's dried up. Amen. And he's reminded of what the Lord said, the words of the Lord. And he's reminded of the curse. And they stop and begin to look at this. And they're amazed that this fig tree is dried up. And can I be honest with you? I've read these verses a lot. And I listened for a long time. These verses amazed me. You say, why is that? Well, let's look at it. Look what he said in verse 13 again. He said, all right, he sees the fig tree afar off, so he came, if happily, he might find anything thereon. When he came, then he found nothing but leaves. And so Jesus is desiring fruit, but when he gets there, there's nothing. Hey, it just has leaves on it. And I mean, yeah, he curses it for not having fruit on it. That's some good application right there. But the problem I have is that last phrase of verse 13. Look what he said. He said this. He said, for the time of figs was not yet. And so it was not the time for the fig tree to bear fruit figs. Yet the Lord cursed it. I mean, you think about this. Listen, if you wanted an apple off an apple tree, and it's not time for it to bear apples. I mean, listen, if it's in the dead of the winter and it's not time for a tree to bear out, then you can't be upset at the tree for not having fruit on. Amen. I mean, if you go up to an apple tree, probably in the dead of the winter, and there's no leaves on it, there's no apples on it, you can't go up that tree and get mad and frustrated at it, and listen, be disappointed because it does not have fruit. Why? Because it's not the time for it. So Jesus comes to this, are y'all with me tonight? Jesus comes to this fig tree and He curses it, but it's not the time for it to have figs. So how can the Lord be upset with a tree that does not have fruit when it's not its season to have fruit? Amen? That's what's going on in the text. Some are even critical of the Lord in this text, and they say that Jesus got full of anger and He acted irrational and He just cursed this tree. He condemned this tree. And I want to say to that friend, that's the furthest thing from the truth. The Lord knew what He was doing. But for the longest time I thought, why did the Lord curse a tree, a fruit tree, a fig tree, when it's not its season? Well, it makes sense. But I got studying about a fig tree. Now, I'll tell you what I found out. I found out that figs were very common in Israel. And the common fig is mentioned, fig tree is mentioned over 60 times in the Bible. It's one of the most important trees in all the Word of God. And the fig tree is unusual in that the figs will begin to grow first, then the leaves. So in other words, on a fig tree, you know, an apple tree, the leaves will come forward, and then it'll start budding forth apples, and then after long it'll be covered with fruit or apples. Amen? But a fig tree is different than that. But the figs begin to bud first. Amen. And then the leaves. So therefore, if you saw a fig tree covered in leaves, it would tell you automatically that it must have fruit. Because the fruit always came first. Y'all understand that? And so when the Lord came to this fig tree, He didn't curse it because it didn't have fruit. He cursed it because it was pretending to have fruit. He saw that fig tree and it had leaves. And listen, there's no other fig tree around that have leaves because it's not the season. It's not the time. It's not the time of figs. There's no other fig tree around that has leaves on it. But the Lord saw this fig tree from a distance. No wonder He saw it. It's probably standing out. It's the only one around that's got leaves on it. And when He seen those leaves, automatically it must have fruit because the fruit of a fig comes first. Then the leaves. Amen. So the leaves were saying, we've got fruit. The leaves on the tree were saying, hey, we've got fruit. The leaves on the tree were testifying unto every, though it's not the season, and though, listen, it's not the time. Hey, I have fruit. Amen. And so the Lord again was not condemning this tree. How? Because it did not have fruit, but He was condemning it because it appeared to have fruit. It looked like it had fruit. It pretended to have fruit. Now it's interesting, the first time you find fig leaves mentioned in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 3. And the first mention of fig leaves in the Bible have to do with the covering of sin. Amen. You remember when Adam and Eve partook of that fruit and fell. Listen, how sin entered in this world. And the Bible said they sowed what? Fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. What their problem was, how they had disobeyed God and they had went against God. And so they tried to cover their sin. They tried to cover their nakedness by fig leaves. And so can I say that these leaves represented a false covering for sin? Amen. No, friend, listen, they were trying to cover their sin up. And they didn't want God to know what they'd done. And they didn't know what God to know. And listen, what was going on. And they thought they could hide it. They thought they could conceal it. They thought that they could cover it up. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. But can I tell you, friend, listen, you may think you've got your sin covered up tonight. But again, listen, you're not hiding anything from God. Just like when the Lord came to Adam and Eve and said, where art thou? He knew what was going on. I'm telling you, He knew what they had partaken of. Hey, but they still tried to cover their sin. Amen. But not only did they try to cover their sin with them leaves, but they tried to convince the sovereign that they were okay. Amen. Oh, they tried. That's what they were doing. Oh, I'm okay. I'm all right. Everything's all right. And so that's the first mention of the fig tree. And so can I say this, friend? Out of what we have in this context of Mark chapter number 11 that we're looking at, this is what we have tonight. We have a classic hypocrite. Amen. How we have a tree that's pretending to have fruit. It's telling everybody it's okay. It's telling everybody it has fruit. It's telling everybody it's helpful. It's telling everybody it's the real deal. But in reality, there is no fruit. There is nothing real. All it is a facade. It's fake. It's false. And the Lord condemned it because, not because it did not have fruit, but because it pretended to be something that it wasn't. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people doing that in the time we're living in. Well, there's a lot of people pretending to be things that they're not. Amen. How there's a lot of people putting on a show, and in their heart is dark, and they've never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and there's no fruit in the life. Does the Bible not say you know the tree by what? The fruit that it bears. Don't say anything about the leaves. Amen. Amen. You can dress it up and you can, listen, you can put nice clothes on it. I'm telling you, if there's no inward fruit, it's still false. It's still fake. I'm telling you, that's what we have tonight, a tree that had been dressed up. It had painted a pretty picture for everybody to see, but it was not real. It was false, fake. It was a phony. It was false. And friend, there's a lot of people like that in our day. Have they never been saved by the grace of God? But they know the words. And they know the lingo. And listen, they know what to say, but they simply have nothing on the inside. I'm telling you, it's just a show. And they're false tonight. Amen. They're false tonight. Amen. Well, a lot of times, I've already made mention of it, a lot of times we'll come to service and listen, people got sin in their life. Amen. And I'm not being mean tonight, but I would dare say this, if we knew some of the sin that was hidden here tonight, probably scare us to death. If we know some of the things that was going on in the hearts of people tonight, if we know some of, listen, if we could pull out your phone, if we could pull out, listen, your text messages from the week, or look at your search engine, or listen to your conversation. I'm just saying, my friend, it would scare us to death. Have this feeling that's probably you say, preacher, how this is a good church. Have this good young, no doubt it is. And I know there's good young people, but I do know this. I know there's a danger of trying to be something you're not. I know there's a danger of pretending when there's no reality. Hey, friend, this tree was cursed because it was pretending. Can I ask you something tonight? Are you pretending? Are you putting on a show? Hey, man, I'm telling you, listen, is it real tonight? Are you real? I mean, if we are inspecting your life, I'm not talking about, listen, just right here the way you look tonight, but if we really got to digging in the heart, if we really got to looking at your life, if we really got to looking at your everyday, is it real, friend? Do you have a real walk with God? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Is this thing real to you? Or is this something you've always heard or always been taught? I'm not trying to make anybody doubt, but I know this. I know, friend, there's a lot of people that are pretending. They're pretending to be something they're not. Amen. There's a lot of young kids in youth group, they're pretending to be godly, but behind the scenes they're sin. How behind the scenes there's things going on that they know that's not right. That they know, listen, that the Bible's against and their parents against, but yet they're trying to cover it up and they're pretending everything's all right. I'm just simply saying this tonight, friend, there's a danger. There's a danger in trying to pretend and put on a show. Hey, friend, the Lord cursed this tree because it had nothing but leaves. Amen. There's no reality to it. Amen. I said this a moment ago. The primary application, talking about the nation of Israel and their empty religion. Amen. You say, what are you saying? Well, all they had was, that's all the nation of Israel, those Pharisees, that's all they had was empty religion. They had some rules. Hey, listen, they had the rules, some do's and don'ts in their life, but it was just empty religion. They had no relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know much tonight, but I sure am glad. I'm telling you, I know Him. Amen. Hey, amen. Friend, I'm glad it's real to me tonight. I'm telling you, I'm glad when I got up this morning, I'm glad He was real to me. And throughout the day, He's been real to me. I'm telling you, I'm glad it's real. And I just want to ask you tonight, are you real? Is what you got real? Are you living a lie? Are you putting on a show? Are you really living out what you have? Amen. Notice this. We see the Lord's inspection. We see His indignation. Y'all see that tonight? He didn't curse it because it had fruit. He cursed it because it pretended to have fruit. Amen. What are you pretending about tonight? What are you pretending about tonight? It's kind of like Abram. Genesis chapter number 12. The Bible talks about God called Abram. And the name Abram means an exalted father. But in Genesis 12, he was not a father. You know what he's doing? He's pretending to be something he wasn't. What are you pretending to be now? Amen. I just want to know if it's real to you. I want to know if you're real. Amen. And then notice the infliction here in verse number 14. Jesus answered, said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Listen, the Lord inflicted a curse, or He condemned this tree. Can I say tonight, friend, God is serious about being real. Amen. God is serious about those that are putting on a show. God is serious about those that are pretending. I'm telling you, friend, He pronounced judgment upon this tree. And can I say tonight, if you keep pretending and you keep trying to pretend everything's okay, you keep trying to pretend, listen, that you've got it all covered up and nobody knows about it, I promise you God will uncover it. I promise you God will reveal it. And I promise you judgment is coming tonight. Amen. Amen. The Lord cursed it because it wasn't real. Amen. I tell you what I want to be tonight. I want to be real. Amen. I'm glad I got a real salvation. Amen, friend. I said I'm glad I got a real salvation. Amen. Hey, listen, May of 99 on the right-hand side of the altar, long about 10 minutes after 8, I saw myself guilty before God and I come to Him in faith and repentance. I'm telling you, I don't know much, but I do know that He changed my life that night. And it's been different ever since. I can't go where I used to go. Can't do what I used to do. Can't talk the way I used to talk. It's been different. I'm telling you, there's something real happened that night. I didn't even know really what all happened. Still don't really understand all that took place. But I know something real took place that night when the God of heaven moved in. It's a real salvation. Amen. Amen. Glad I got a real salvation. Amen. Amen. I just want to be real. Amen. We are critical a whole lot of these Pharisees in the Scripture. Amen. How they got they put on a show. How many times have we been guilty of that? You may be saved tonight. We come in church and we ain't right with God. Amen. You've been dabbling in things this week you know ain't right. Amen. You've been listening to things you know you ain't supposed to be listening to. Been looking at things you know you ain't supposed to be looking at. Amen. Been talking about things you know you ain't supposed to be talking about. Amen tonight, friend. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen, if you keep going down that path, it's a path of destruction. It's a path of judgment. Amen. I tell you what we need now. We need some reality. We need some people to come clean with God. Say, God, I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of putting on a show. I'm tired of acting like everything's all right. I'm tired of acting. Listen, matter of fact, that word hypocrite, you know where that comes from? It comes from that word that we get play actor. It's an actor. That's where it comes from. Amen. It's playing a part. There's a lot of people know how to play the part. But it's not real. It's not real. They're covering up things. And I promise you, friend, judgment's coming. I'll say it again tonight. You may hide it from me. And you may hide it from man of God. And you may hide it from mom and daddy. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that you're not hiding it from. I'm not hiding it from. I'm telling you what we better be tonight. We better be real. Amen. You may not have everything just right, but at least you can be real. That's what I want to be. I want to be a real Christian. Amen. I want to be the real deal. Amen. I remember when I first got saved and I started going to meetings and got around some men and got around some people, and this is what I'd say about it. That's a real deal right there. That's a real deal right there. You know what we need this day? We need some people to be the real deal. And just be real tonight. Amen. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. I'm going to pray. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. I'm going to pray tonight. Maybe somebody here not saved. Maybe somebody here, friend, listen, you know, I'm not trying to make anybody doubt, but I'm asking you tonight, is what you got real? Is it real tonight? If you died, listen, I heard a man years ago when I got saved, I started going to this church, and this man used to testify all the time, and I'd ask him if he's saved, I'd ask him how he's doing, he said, I'm saved, and couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. I like it. Amen. Can you say that tonight? Is it real to you? Can I ask you? You don't answer out loud, but I'm going to ask you, when did you get saved? When did the Holy Ghost show you as a sinner? And you come to Him in faith and repentance, and He changed your life. When did it happen to you? You say, preacher, I don't know. But maybe you need to examine yourself, lest you be in the faith. See, the Lord examined that fig tree. And I tell you what, it would have been better off. It had examined itself and just come clean. Would it be one when nobody's looking and I say, preacher, I'm not saved. I've been living a lie, and if I died right now, I'm afraid I'd go to hell. Would you pray for me tonight? Would there be one? Just slip your hand up and let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I will not come to you, but I'll pray for you. Preacher, I am not saved tonight. God spoke to my heart. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up and let me pray for you. Would it be one tonight? Maybe one. Be honest enough to say, preacher, I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. But just be honest about it. I've got some things in my life that I've been covering up that's not right. And I need to get them right tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand up and say, I will not. Hey, I won't embarrass you. But I will pray for you. Preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight. Hey, some things in my life that God, I know God's not pleased with. And I need to deal with them tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Would it be one to be on tonight? God's speaking to your heart tonight. Listen, I don't know much, friend, but I know this. I know if you ever get any help, you'll have to do it when the Lord's around. And He's around tonight. Are you real? Are you satisfied with what you've got tonight? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your grace tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.